do.
Praise the Lord. Servant's Attitude number 6, Series Servants Institute, School of Ministry. We all have the ministry of reconciliation. We spoke about that scripture. What that means is we all have the ministry of taking Jesus Christ to the world. We've all got the ministry of living before the world the example of Jesus Christ. That's the ministry of reconciliation. 1 John chapter 3, verse number 7, little children, let no man deceive you. That means you can be deceived. Let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous, speaking of Jesus Christ. And in 1 John 4 and 17, herein is our love made perfect. Amen. That we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. If you will, John is saying our love is made perfect by obedience. By obedience. Hallelujah. Glory. That's how I'm going to have boldness in the day of judgment, because I want to walk with Jesus Christ and I want to be just like him. As he is, so are we in this world. And of course, the definition of attitude, a position assumed for a specific purpose, a settled way of thinking, or a steadfast way of thinking. A settled way of thinking or feeling about someone or something, typically one that is reflected. I cannot emphasize on this definition of attitude enough, because everything about attitude is reflected in behavior. Everything about your love for God is reflected in your behavior. If you say you love God, but you don't love the brethren, well, John said, you're a liar. If you can't love the brethren, you can't love God either. Because it takes that giving of oneself away to God. And so attitude is always reflected in behavior. The way that you think about God affects your behavior. Amen. And of course, a bad attitude is someone that's eager or quick to argue or to fight or aggressively defiant. Uncooperative behavior, a resentful and antagonistic manner. Hallelujah. Praise our God. I hope tonight will be a night that all of these teachings come together. And the reality of the expectations of God begin to really stir our hearts and our minds and our souls. The whole intent of Serious Servants Institute is to help us begin to reflect and look at our behavior. Our behavior. How we talk. How we present ourselves. How we act. How we treat other people. Our behavior. Our servant's attitude toward worship. Worship is the giving of entire self. Of course, this morning, I give myself away. Worship is giving our thoughts, our emotions to God's use. All of life is an act of submission, an act of worship. Our service to God is not centered on a time or a temple, but it is done whenever and wherever we are, because we are the temple of God. Hallelujah. Praise be to our God. We are the temple of God. That lame man that Lucas talked about as he opened service went leaping and praising God, magnifying God, and went into the temple for the first time, because he couldn't go before that.
Woo! Praise God. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Glory. We're living in the dispensation of grace, and it makes no difference if you're lame or halt or sick or anything. You can come to the house of God. The doors are always open. Hallelujah. And you can come and you can be touched by God, strengthened by God. Hallelujah. Worship involves speaking. Worship involves listening. What we're going to deal with tonight, worship involves doing. Doing. Glory. Hallelujah. Praise God. Glory. Chapel service Thursday morning. Share just a little bit about going forward. Our students, they were here. They heard it. But going forward, I gave them just a little simple illustration. Going forward, I know I need to go forward. I want to go forward. It's God's will that I go forward. But I haven't moved yet, have I? But I want to go forward. I know it's right to go forward. It's God's will that I go forward. God says in His Word I need to go forward. Yeah, but here I stand. Why? Because I haven't went forward. The only way I'll go forward is when I make the move towards obedience. And I'm going forward. I can want to do it. I can know to do it. I can know it's God's will to do it. But until I step forth and do it, it will not happen. It will not happen. I can pray about it. I can cry out to God about it, because I use the scripture where the people and Moses had cried out to God about their dilemma and their situation. And God's reply to Moses is, "Why do you cry unto me? Go forward." I've watched it in people's lives over the years that they cry, that they squall, they bawl, and I just use those terminologies. That's not a wrong thing to do. But the thing is they just keep doing that. And they keep doing that because they won't go forward. And God's answer is, why are you crying? Go forward. Amen. Well, I'm going to share some things with you tonight that if you'll lay hold of them, you can go forward. You can go forward in your walk with God. You can go forward in your allegiance to God. You can go forward in your obedience to God. Because until you're ready to be obedient, you will not go forward. You will always be going around the same mountain, having the same problem, falling to the same temptation, until you are ready to go forward and lay a hold of the kingdom of God for your life. There's no other way. I mean, we can prop people up. We can pray for people all the time. And we can counsel people all the time as ministry and leadership. But until an individual is ready to make that choice and go forward, they will never be victorious. Because it all depends on their choice. Not circumstances, not somebody else changing. It depends on them changing and stepping forward, stepping up, and becoming a doer. A doer. Matthew chapter 7, verse number 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, and catch this now, have we not prophesied in thy name? That's a good thing to do, isn't it? In thy name have cast out devils. That is a great thing to do. And in thy name done many wonderful works. That is a mighty testimony. Wow. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Whoa, now wait a minute. They've cast out devils. They've prophesied in his name. They've done wonderful works. And how many realize we're not saved by works? So what was missing in this profession? I surrender all. That's what was missing in this profession. They were trying and expecting to enter in by just mere works instead of a surrendered relationship to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And when they stood before him, he called them a worker of iniquity. What does that mean? That means their heart was not right with God, even though they were doing all the things right. Woo! I told you. This is going to be our last for the holiday period of time. This is going to be our last series, Servants Institute. Amen. So put on your seatbelt. Hang on. Hallelujah. Because we're going on a journey tonight. Praise God. It starts out about the reality of being a doer of the will of God. And a doer of the will of God. And you'll notice doing the will of God is not necessarily doing a bunch of things. Doing the will of God is a step forward in surrender to what God wants done in my life. Not necessarily what he wants to do with my life. Grab a hold of it. Not necessarily what he wants to do with my life, but what he wants to do in my life. Hallelujah. In my soul, in my mind, in my heart. Hallelujah. I mean, to do the will of God starts with him having his way in me. Hallelujah. Not with me, but in me. Because when he has his will in me, he can do anything with me. Woo, praise God. I guess maybe that's one reason when God began to deal in my heart to preach the gospel, I wasn't calling out to God saying, "Oh, God, make me a pastor." I wasn't crying out to God, "Oh, God, make me an evangelist." I was just crying out to God, "Oh, God, just work whatever you want to do in me, God. I want you to work in me. I want to be whatever you want. And if you want me to preach the gospel, I'll preach the gospel, and I wouldn't take it any farther than that." I never knew I'd be pastoring Calvary Lighthouse Church. I really never knew I was going to be pastoring. I thought maybe someday in the great distant future. Oh, well, I can't preach. Hallelujah. I got to teach. Just to let you know, when God calls, I got to share this with you. When God calls you to preach, don't think about this pulpit. Think about iniquity in your heart. Think about how you're living inside. Think about how you obey God, how you follow God, how you change and are surrendered to God, how committed you are to God. Are you ready to be totally inconvenienced for the cause of God? Or do you have to do what you want to do all the time? That's what God's after. That's the will of God for every believer's life. God, change me in here. Hallelujah. Woo, praise God. Matthew chapter 12. For whosoever shall do the will of the Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. This is where we got the terminology, brother. Brother Timmy. Brother Kenner. Brother Pepper. Brother Jason. Sister Lindsay. Sister Addison. Sister April. Mother Watkins. We don't really do that a lot with Sister Betty. We just call her Sister Betty because I guess we just feel she's just about as young as we are. Hallelujah. But that's where that terminology came from. Whosoever shall do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, the same as my brother and sister and mother. And of course, a little, you know, around that scripture, his blood brothers came. His kinfolk, in other words, the same family, Joseph's children, came and wanted to talk to him. And he took opportunity because of that situation to share and make this statement. Not only are they my brothers and sisters, but anybody that does the will of the Father is my brother and my sister and mother. Oh, hallelujah. See, Jesus took opportunity of situations that arose at the moment to share some wonderful things. I love to do that myself. Woo, praise God. I guess Jesus did it. Maybe that's why I like to do it. John 13:14. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should go, or you should do as I have done to you. Notice, should do. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is no greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. You want to find happiness? Then do what Jesus is telling you to do, or what he's asking. We always say telling, but he always asks. It's a commandment from the Lord, but he still asks. He has all power in heaven and in earth, but he still asks. Hallelujah. And who am I not to say yes to my Lord? Praise our God. And so we see here, this is interesting. I'm just going to share it. Many moons ago, I was asked to do a devotion at Ozark Bible Institute in the men's dorm. And I happened to be working in Neosho at that time for my stepfather-in-law, Sister Flora May's late husband, on his farm there. I was working, staying up there working, and I don't even remember who was over the dorm at that time, but they caught wind of that and said, won't you come and do a devotion there in our dorm for us on devotion night? And I said, okay. So I began to pray. I began to seek the Lord. And the Lord laid on my heart to have a foot washing. And we men in the men's dorm, we had a foot washing that night. And it was one of the hardest things, really, to tell you the truth, I've ever done. You know, here I am amongst a bunch of, you know, young Bible students, and we're doing a teaching on discipleship and being a servant of the Lord. And we had a foot washing, and I shared with them, you know, about being a servant of the Lord and humility. And I guess that's been 30 years ago, probably. But I ran into Brother Scott Carper at our minister's retreat down in Denton, Texas, and then I ran into him again up at convocation, and you know, I've never really known him real close. I just known of him, and as we got to talking there in Denton, Texas, at that minister's retreat and the empowerment services, he said, "Brother Pepper, do you remember doing that devotion at the men's dorm and at OBI?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, I was one of those students." He said, "I've never forgot that my entire life, what you shared with us that night." He said, "I remember that just as plain today as I did then." He said, "That marked my life and changed my life when you shared that devotion." 30 years later, I find out that I'd actually impacted somebody's life with one of the hardest devotions I've ever gave my entire life. I sat down there and washed their feet. But it marked his life and changed his life and strengthened him for the ministry. Woo. Oh, God. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 2, verse number 13. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. Remember, I know it's the will of God. I want to move forward. I ought to go forward. But until I make the step, I'll never go forward. James 1:22, but be ye doers of the word, not hearers only. And here's a word, deceiving your own selves. Right here is self-deception. I know I need to go forward. I know I'm saying this again, but I know I need to go forward. I know it's the will of God that I go forward. But maybe tomorrow. I'll be okay till then. That's deception. You'll never be okay until you go forward. Because if you're not going forward and you know you need to go forward and you ought to go forward and it's the will of God to go forward, then you're not right with God. Because you're not going forward. And so you're not going to be all right till tomorrow because you're already in danger today. Well, we just don't want to look at it like that. Why not? That's the deception it's talking about. Thinking I'll make it by not making the choice today. And you're not promised tomorrow, but we don't want to think about that because we want our pleasure for the moment. Yeah, we want what we want for the moment, and we think, okay, then, later, what are you going to do when the trumpet sounds right in the middle of that wrong choice? His promise is not to the unrighteous, and that's what that is. Hallelujah. And so, what are you going to do? I mean, we preach and teach against gambling. I don't want to offend anybody. I don't think we have any gamblers. Oh, maybe we've got a house full of gamblers. I don't know. Are you ready for the rapture? Because if you're not ready for the rapture this moment right now, then you're a gambler. You're gambling with your life. You're gambling with your salvation. You're hoping by chance that you will be ready at that moment, but right now you'd rather do something that you shouldn't do. Deceiving your own selves. Woo! My. I was praying for our young people. And the scripture came to mind where Paul was talking to Timothy to exhort them to flee youthful lust. I thought, you know, young people are in danger because youthful lust is something different than adult lust. Youthful lust is they don't really understand what's going on. And how the enemy is messing with their minds and messing with their souls and messing with their salvation because they're youth. And youth don't have a full understanding of the power of an almighty God, even though the Holy Ghost moves on them continually. Because they're youth. Now, youth can be intelligent. Youth can be smart. Youth can be well versed in Scripture, but talk about trying to control their emotions, not going to happen. That's why youth takes extra effort, extra patience, extra kindness, extra love, extra endurance, extra long suffering. I know! I raised two of them. I know, because I've dealt with them for 39 years. Not my children, youth. I don't know what it is, but ever since I got saved, I have dealt with youth. Even though I've pastored, even though I've evangelized, I've always dealt with young people. Always have. A lot of places we went to preach revival, it was the youth that started the revival. Amen, because I would connect with the young people. Maybe it's because I was only, let's see, if I'm 26 now, I might have only been 10 or 11 or 12 then. I don't know. But I had a burden to help young people because I was a young person without God. And I wanted to see them get a hold of God and know God to where they could overcome in those youth years. Because they are definitely hard years. Because for whatever reason, they don't like to listen to people. Woo! I'm sorry, young people. I'm not against you. I'm for you. But I just know you. Hallelujah. Glory. You can tell them exactly what they need to do and show them in Scripture what they need to do, but they think they've got to figure it out themselves. And say that, though, they... Woo! They go about to try to figure it out themselves, and they fall flat on their face, and they come right back and realize, oh, I just need to do what you told me, Brother Pepper. Amen. Woo! You don't think that I got a full 26 without gaining a little bit of understanding. Hallelujah. Praise God. James chapter 4, verse number 11. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. Woo! He that speaketh evil of his brother and judges his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. This is kind of a hard scripture to really understand. But really, what he's talking about, if you go back and read chapter 4, he's talking about humility. He's talking about treating people right. He's talking about drawing nigh to God and humbling your heart before God. And then he throws this in there into the fact that if I am continually talking bad about the brethren, then I've got a problem with pride. I've got a problem with self-will. I've got a problem with self-esteem. I've got a problem with confidence. And so the only way that I can gain any confidence is if I put somebody else down or ridicule someone else for their failure. But when I'm doing all that, I'm not a doer. I've become a judge that I have no right to be, because there's only one judge, Christ. And so if I am totally occupied with how everybody else is acting and how what everybody else is doing and how everybody else is treating me, and I become frustrated and irritated and start saying bad things about people, I've moved to the realm of pride, whether I realize it or not. And I'm not a doer of the law, but I have tried to take the place of Jesus, the judge. And so I'm after worshiping God by doing, not taking his place. Woo. Hallelujah. 1 John 2:15. I don't know whether you realize or not, but we're doing a little preach teaching tonight. Amen. It's okay, right? Amen. Amen. It's okay. I'm loving it. I don't know. You may not be. Woo. Glory. I love having this many scriptures in front of me, because I could preach for 3 hours here. Hallelujah. Glory. 1 John 2 and 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. This is the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. So, if you're continually following after the lust of your flesh and the lust of your eyes, and if you are continually thinking you're the only one that has it figured out, the pride of life, then you're loving the world. And you're not loving the Father. Because those things are not of the Father. They're of this world, this cosmos. I don't know whether you realize it or not, but everything that you encounter every day of your life out here in this society of the United States of America, from the Weather Channel on your cell phone, Facebook, to the billboards on the side of the road, to the radio broadcasting, even the news promotes the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. everything you rub elbows with every day you go to work into this world is totally alien from God. And whether you want to admit it or not, it will affect you. You're in this world, but not of this world, but that doesn't keep the world from trying to enter your mind to get you to act like it does. Thank Jesus. If you think it's cool to talk the lingo of this world, the love of the Father is not in that. Yeah. You think it's cool to get on Facebook and talk like everybody else talks? The love of the Father is not in that. That's the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes. That's that pride of life that you think you want to be just like them. Now that's not good, because you should just want to be just like Jesus, not just like them. I mean, if your long life dream is to be a rapper, really it's not per se the rapping, the way they do it, but it's what they say, what they promote, what they believe, the religion they're preaching. And most of the time it's more of a covet for money, fame, fortune. That's pride of life. It's not of the Father. Hello. My. Love not the world. For the world passeth away, it's going to burn, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Woo. Hallelujah to the Lamb. You see, you are not facing, and I know a lot of times we say, well, it's harder for young people today than it's ever been. Well, in a sense, yes, and in a sense, no. Because it's always been the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Eve fell to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That's what she fell to. One commandment, but that's the thing that took her down right there. Hath God said. Don't you want to be just like God? Have knowledge, pride of life, good and evil. It was pleasant to the eyes. It was pleasant to the taste. And it's going to make us like God. Or we can become a God. That's what he was saying. You can get right up there at the rank with him and start telling him what to do. Be in charge. Wow. Good job, sister. Glory. We make a good team together. Amen. Hallelujah. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. See, this old world is going to pull on you. It's going to lie to you. It's going to entice you. It's going to pull on your flesh. I mean, this is why we must crucify it. This is why we've got to flee youthful lust. Why? Because it's all around us. It's everywhere. And if we don't flee from it, then, well, if we ain't moving, we ain't going forward. I think fleeing speaks of movement. Going away from sin and forward towards God. Because this world's going to pass away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. See, worship involves doing. I want to be a worshiper of God. Let the worshipers arise. Hallelujah. That's not just in word. That's not just in hearing good preaching, good teaching, but that is in doing what God has revealed to us through that preaching, through that teaching, hallelujah, and in pursuit of the will of God and not the lust of my flesh. Revelation 22:14, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they might have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs, and that's not talking about literal dogs. That's talking about evil men, evil women. That's talking about all those that have rejected Jesus Christ. For without are dogs, sorcerers. That's also talking about, you know, drugs. Sorcery and drugs go hand in hand. Whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. See, this is where we understand, you know, liars aren't going to make it into heaven. You got to be careful, because it's so easy to fabricate a lie if you're caught in something you shouldn't be doing. How many realize you don't have to teach your children how to lie? I don't think any parents went around and say, all right, now, Junior, you get caught in a tight spot, this is what you got to do. You fabricate this big old story of this big mountain lion that scared you into the kitchen, and you stumbled over the cookie jar, and one fell out, and so you gave one to the lion or one to the bear. Or I can't remember, was a lion or a bear? And you took one for yourself because you're so scared. You don't have to teach them to do that. They come up with that on their own. You see, it's part of the sin nature. Actually, it's natural and of the sin nature to lie when you're caught doing wrong. This is why lying is such a damnable thing. Because that's what it's going to bring forth to those that make a lie. They're going to be outcasts from the city. I want to be a doer of the word. I want to keep his commandments. Psalm 34:14, depart from evil. Hey, that's movement, isn't it? Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. In other words, that what it's talking about there, seeking peace, is righteousness. Seeking peace, a rightness with God. Hallelujah. And pursue being right with God. Hallelujah. Make sure that, what is that? Hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Woo, hallelujah. That's what that is, to seek peace and glory to God. And so we see here then we've got to depart from evil and do good. Now, there's a lot of movements that really emphasize on departing from evil. But they're really, 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 really weak on doing good. Because it's easy to say I'm doing good because I'm not doing this. Once again, that's justification by works. And to really do good, I've got to be in a full-fledged relationship with Jesus Christ, where his will is my will, his goodness is my goodness, his kindness is my kindness. Oh, hallelujah. His grace is my grace. His mercy is my mercy. Woo, glory to our God. It's called being a Christian. And I'm reminded of a message Brother Bob Goodwin preached about 30 years ago. Will the real Christian please stand up? Oh, that was a revival message. Oh, man, that's where you went to the altar not shouting but crying. You couldn't stand up till after you went to the altar, and then you could stand up. Hallelujah. Praise God. Will the real Christian please stand up? So departing from evil is not exactly where it's at. It needs to be done, but you got to do good. And the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. That's why I want to do good. That's why I want to pursue peace. Hallelujah. Because that's when my prayers are heard, and that's when God moves on my behalf, and that's when I am blessed of the Lord. Hallelujah. So I'm not doing it for the blessing. Did you catch that? That's still trying to work God. I am doing it because he's my God. I'm doing it because he's my Savior. I'm doing it because he's the one that brought me into the kingdom. He's the one that washed my sins away. I'm doing it out of love for my King. Hallelujah. And because I love him, then he will bless me. And he will hear my cry. And his presence and power will rest upon my life. It's called the anointing. The anointing of God is linked to my relationship with Jesus Christ and my seriousness about being a doer of his will, his word, his ways. Hallelujah. Depart from evil and do good. Romans 13:13 says, let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness. I mean, we don't mind having a party. Sister London had a party, had a little tea party this afternoon for her birthday. It's not what it's talking about. It's talking about when you go out and party. It's talking when you go out and you just tear up the town, so to speak. Now, anybody that's older may understand what that means. My grandchildren probably don't have a clue what that means. I have an understanding what that means because I didn't get saved till I was 23. And so I understand what that means. Not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. I mean, these are all things that the world is in pursuit of, that is plastered on billboards, that is put on Facebook, that is put on all those smut channels on the internet. I mean, this is what they're after, to get young people, old people, any people to live rioting, drunkenness, chambering, wantonness, and strife and envy. That's what you face every day. Unless you just stay in your house all day long, and that's not healthy. Sorry. That's not healthy. You're going to have a hard time winning people if you just stay in your house all the time. And whether you realize it or not, you have been given the ministry of what? Reconciliation. It is God's will that you get out of your house and encounter people. I understand why you know, Jason said, you know, if there wasn't any people in the world, it'd be a great place to be. Woo! Just think of all the drama that we wouldn't have if there wasn't any people in the world but me. Think of all the joy we would have if there was nobody but me. Think of all the loneliness I'd have if there was nobody but me. Woo! No, no, no. People is what makes things happen. Whether it be a test, a trial, or a blessing. People. You see, it was people last night that made a blessing happen to Calvary Light Christian Academy. It was people. Now, what would it be like if we didn't have people? But it's also people that bring drama and stress to our lives. It is, it is. But that's all right, because we need that so we can be strong in the power of his might. Then we can make sure we've surrendered all. Praise our God. Isn't this great? Isn't this wonderful? Oh, you're just loving this, I can tell. You're smiling. Oh, you're smiling. That means I know I'm at home. I've hit a home. Woo, glory to the King. You know, Billy Sunday used to preach about baseball all the time, you know. Amen. Got to get back to my scriptures here. Walk honestly. Verse 14, Romans chapter 13, verse number 14. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay. Well, I'm going to put him on. I know I need to put him on. I really ought to put him on. Have you put him on yet? What does it mean to put on the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm back to I surrender. That's how you put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Not my will, Lord, but your will be done. Not what I want, not what I feel, not how my emotions are stirring. No, no. I see emotions are a strange thing because emotions can be good things, emotions can be bad things. Because you can have an emotional thing and it's wrong. Yeah. A lot of times emotions are no more than lust. Sometimes emotions are no more than anger. I always get tickled about folks that are not emotional, and then they get madder and horned at everything. I said, you're the most emotional person I've ever met. You're just doing the wrong one. Woo! Glory. Hallelujah to the Lamb. I've been one of those. You know, I mean, I wasn't raised in Pentecost. When I first came to Pentecost, I thought this emotional stuff was crazy. Why y'all get so emotional for? You gotta stay controlled. Stay control of yourself. Why do you always lift your hands all the time? Yeah? I come from a Lutheran church, and you didn't lift nothing. You just stood up, and then, you know, if it come time to sing, I couldn't sing a lick. I didn't know I could actually sing until I got saved. Come to a Pentecostal church, and they actually sung in the key of G, God's key. I don't know what key they sung in the Lutheran church, but it was nowhere near G, Pentecostal G. That's what they call it, Pentecostal G. Everybody can sing in G at one part or another somewhere in there. Woo, praise God. Now, emotions. All together. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. So, church, it's my duty to make sure that I don't make provision for my flesh. It's not somebody else's duty. It's mine. It's mine. And the only way that that's going to happen is if I put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That's the only way that I will not make provision for my flesh. Because if Jesus Christ is leading, ruling, reigning, the Holy Ghost is having his way, then I'm not going to be walking in the flesh. I'm not going to be fulfilling the lust thereof. Because I'm going to be crucifying it, mortifying it. These are just terminologies of the scripture. So that I can walk honestly in the day. That I can put on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's an act of my will. That's a choice of my will. That is a made-up mind, a determination. Hallelujah. That is a surrender. Praise God. You get up every morning, Lord Jesus, I'm putting you on. And that's not like I'm fibbing to you. I want to be like you. Praise God. Amen. Hebrews 13:15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Speaking. Worship is speaking. Offer. That means giving. Sacrifice. That means he's worthy of it. And whatever it costs me, I want to give it to him. And it's the fruit of my lips. Okay, hang on right here. Giving thanks to his name. All right, those that aren't very loud, it's time for you to get loud. You may say, well, I've never been a loud person. Well, that means it needs a change. You need to get loud. You do. Have you ever been loud anywhere doing anything? Maybe not. How loud do you get when you smash your toe? How loud do you get when you smash your thumb? Oh my! Help me, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Offering the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good, in other words, praise is acceptable. Praise is God wants it. Thanksgiving, God wants it. But to do good, and here's the doing, and communicate, forget not. Hallelujah. Woo. That means also hearing. To communicate means you are conversing. Hallelujah. To communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. So he wants worship that involves speaking. Speaking that needs to be heard. Yeah, that's what I meant by getting loud. When you speak the wonderful works of God, you need to be loud. Hallelujah. Praise our God. I mean, that's the whole purpose of speaking, is so somebody else can hear. If you're speaking and nobody can hear you, you're not really speaking. Yeah. Where was I at? I asked somebody, a smaller child, to take up an offering one time, and I asked them to pray, and they bowed their head, and then they realized they were just praying in their mind. And they stopped and said, "Oh, I forgot. I was just praying to myself." So then they started praying out loud. So nobody knew they were praying yet. Because why? Because there was no voice to hear. Amen. If your voice is being used, it should be used with enough volume where everybody can hear what you're saying. Amen. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Glory. Amen. Titus, I've known your mom since she was your age. Yeah. And to get that young lady right there to talk out loud did not happen till about 4 years ago. And now look at her. She's up here preaching almost as good as I am. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. Because she was afraid to speak out loud in front of people. I don't know where she got that. Do you, Brother Shelton? Praise God. Woo! Help me, Jesus. They're going to run me out of here. Glory. Glory. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Oh, I like this verse 17. Every pastor loves verse 17. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Amen. Those that are looking out for your soul. It doesn't really mean that. In the other scripture says, you know, don't lord over the people. We're not trying to lord over folks. But it's just the reality God has given us, pastors, evangelists, teachers, for the edifying and the perfecting of the saints. And we got to realize and we got to submit ourselves to listen, and so that it can be profitable for our lives. Praise God. James 4:16. But now you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. I know I need to go forward. I know it's God's will to go forward. I ought to go forward. Because I know it's right. But if I don't, then it's sin. Then it's sin. Why is it sin now? Because I know it's God's will. I know it's right. And I know it's what He wants me to do. And if I will not do it, that is willful disobedience. And willful disobedience is sin. And that's what James is trying to get them to understand. This is the same chapter that he talked about being a judge, speaking evil of the brethren. James chapter number 4, and when he got down to the bottom here, he was bringing to their knowledge and their understanding that you are boasting about your sin. You're boasting about how you handle yourself and how you can do what you want to do and how nobody else is doing it as good as I am. And you know you're not supposed to act that way, and you know you shouldn't act that way, and you know it's not God's will for you to act that way, and but you won't listen. You won't do what's right. And that's why it's sin. That's why it's sin. to know to do good and do it not. To him it is sin. 1 Peter 2:15, for so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Amen. By your well-doing, you'll put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. By your well-doing, you will win the lost. Even if people don't agree with how you live your life, but you live your life in well-doing, you will win them to Jesus. There's so many more scriptures that would deal with that. Your wife, know you not that you'll win your husband? Husband, know you not you'll win your wife? By well-doing. Well-doing. Doing what God would have you to do. Don't pull this card, well, they did this. God's reply to that is, don't cry unto me, go forward. Don't speak evil of your brother. Don't speak evil of your husband. Don't speak evil of your wife. Just be a doer and win by well-doing. See, sometimes we get the wrong concept of what winning is. Sometimes our concept of winning is that we have the last word, have the last say. That's not winning. Most of the time, that's losing. Because the Bible way is you win them by well-doing. You win them by long-suffering. You win them by mercy. You win them by grace. You win them by kindness. You win them by love. That's how you win. But that's how I do win. I have to lose all so I can win. Praise God. I want to be a giver of my all to you. Hallelujah. Glory to our God. Serious servants of the Lord. Amen. An attitude to make sure my worship is full. It's full. I use my voice to worship. I use my ears and understanding to worship. And I use my life to worship by doing. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 3:11, let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. What is evil? Well, evil is just the absence of God. So, if I'm doing my self-will, there's an absence of God in there. So that means it's evil. Yeah. Has anybody seen this scripture before in these notes? Oh, yeah, right there. Psalm 34:14. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open unto their cry. And Peter's quoting Psalm 34:14 in his writing. Let him eschew evil. Depart. Depart evil. Do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. Lay hold of it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. And Peter kind of adds this in there too. It's probably in Psalms 34 there. I just used 14 and 15, but here in Peter, he gives, the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. You see, the Lord's not willing that any should perish. He wants all to come to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. But we've got to be careful. Because if we find ourselves doing evil, that will set the Lord against us. This is why it's very important to walk in the light as he's in the light. For then the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But if we start making a pattern of disobedience, we're in the danger zone. What Paul say is, because grace abounds, shall I remain in sin? God forbid. Don't you know that people that do all that are going to be judged? I'm just kind of paraphrasing it. I'm not quoting it scripture for verse, word for word, but just the reality of God's grace is never intended for me to think I've got a danger zone I can live in and still be okay. How many's ever heard the terminology straddling the fence? How many's heard the term, there's no neutral ground with God? You're either in or you're out. There's no gray area here. It's all white or it's black. It's all day or it's night. It's all light or it's darkness. I mean, Jesus even said once, if the light that's in you is darkness, great is that darkness. Wow, how can you have light but it's still darkness? Because you know what you ought to do, and you know it's God's will, and you ought to, and I want to do it, but it ain't happening. That means you have light, but it's darkness because of disobedience. You won't go forward. I have found throughout my entire Christian life, there are points in time where I had to go forward. There was new light brought to my understanding and to my heart and to my soul, and I had to make a choice. Will I follow the Lord, or will I do my own thing? Well, I've never been one to not want to follow the Lord. I just never have, because when he asked me that the first time in my Christian life, will you follow me, it broke me. Lord, why would you even ask me if I would follow you? It broke me. And I let him know that very day, Lord, I'm following you because I don't want to go back to where I just came from. You know, I didn't really come from a bad situation or a bad circumstance of life. I was considered by everyone around me as one of the nicest, goodest people you could ever meet. I didn't always act that way, but most folks thought I was that way. I mean, I've even talked to different ones and said, well, yeah, I mean, Christianity's good for you. You're already good. I said, no, that's not. Nobody's good enough to go to heaven. I said, all of our righteousness is filthy rags. He said, I mean, my reputation was good, but I was just as lost as I could be. And he's the one that brought light to me. And when he revealed himself to me and created that new creature inside of me, that's what I was looking for all my life. Just didn't know it. And he found me. I didn't find him. He found me, and I just said, finally, yes, yes, Lord, yes. Do whatever you want to do in my life. Hallelujah. And that's part of the battle. That's part of the warfare. That's part of keeping the right attitude, is keeping myself in that place to be instructed, to maintain teachability, amen, to maintain obedience, and be ready to change. I've got to be, you know, I'm not a guy that likes change. I could have the same curtains hanging in our house for eternity. Not going to affect me at all. But Sister Pepper likes new curtains from time to time. I could handle the same couch for eternity. Unless it got completely wore out. You know, just because it's out of date, out of style, who cares? But Sister Pepper likes better stuff than that, so we get new furniture from time to time. It's been a while now. Now that I've preached about it, she'll probably want some new. Amen. I can drive humility in mobiles. Doesn't bother me a bit. My son don't like humility mobiles. Oh, it was when he started working with me, we had a 90 model Ford Ranger with a 4-speed on the floor. Amen. The front light had been busted out, and I just kind of pieced it back together where the light would work. And it was all, you know, the paint was fading off of it, you know, and it ran good sometimes. Sometimes you almost had to push it down the road. And it kind of just, you know, went, you know, I mean, you know, you just, you know. And when Jason would have to ride to work with me, you know, he'd almost squat down in the seat, you know. Hope nobody's pull his hat down low. I said, what's the matter, boy? Can't you drive a humility mobile? Don't you know we're supposed to be humble before God? Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, hey, I only paid $400 for it, and it ran. Got pretty good gas mileage, so why get something expensive when it'll get you there and get you back? Praise God. Servant of the Lord. Amen. Glory. But be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. That's James 1 and 22. Amen. Everything about worship involves all of me. All of me. Praise God. There's nothing like lifting our hands, lifting our voices in the presence of a holy God. Amen. And doing it with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our strength, and all of our mind. I appreciate Sister Sarah's exhortation and her openness, her transparency. Sometimes you're just doing it. But I'm like her. I am striving that when I sing because I know what those words are saying to my God. I know what they're saying to my soul. I guess maybe that's why singing has always been a part of my life ever since I got saved. I mean, literally, I could say he put a song in my heart. Because from the time I got saved, that's when my voice opened up, and that's when I began to sing to my God. And I began to sing and rejoice in my God. I got the baptism in the Holy Ghost, and they sure couldn't shut me up then. Praise be to our God. The rejoicing, the praising, the lifting of the voice, hallelujah, the hearing of the word, praise God. I mean, I just loved, I mean, to hear the preaching of the word. I mean, glory. But now I understand it even more because it's part of true worship. True worship. Praise be to our God. Let's stand together tonight. Amen. Servant's attitude number 6 has come to a close. There's so much involved in worshiping our God. This is just a drop in the bucket, hallelujah, of how we are to worship our God. Amen. Be totally involved, totally engaged. Praise God. Our thoughts, our emotions, our submission, our service, glory. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Let's just take a little time here and let's reflect. Let's give our God praise. Hallelujah. Glory. Father in heaven, you are so great. You are so great. You are so kind and you are so loving. You are so holy. Oh, your ways are so far different than the ways of man. Oh, God. Lord, help us to hear. Help us to do. God, in these last days before the coming of Jesus Christ, the fields are white to harvest. Sometimes that even makes it more difficult to harvest. Oh God, help us, Lord, to put forth the effort, the the willingness, God, to be a servant of the King. To be a servant of the King. A faithful subject. Hallelujah. Oh, bless your name, God. Bless your name. For no one has touched me like you, King.